Buy a new PC now or wait for Intel's Skylake. Dump in your cell provider and go rogue. I mean, Wi-Fi, three cheap DACs, cutting the cable, and the secrets of Shannon's laptop. All that and more coming up on Tech Thing. Tech Thing is brought to you by viewers like you. Visit us at patreon.com/techthing to contribute and see our milestone goals. Thank you so much for your continuing support of the show.
I'm Shannon Morse.
And I'm Patrick Norton.
And this is Tech Thing, where we make technology behave.
At least on the good days.
That's right.
Oh my goodness.
We have lots to get into today, so how about we go ahead and start it off with an email.
I like emails.
Bill wrote, ask@techthing.com, with Skylake processors on the way, is now a bad time to buy a new laptop? When do you think laptops will be available with Skylake? Also, would it be a good or a bad idea to insist on buying a laptop with at least a 1080p screen? What is the start cost for laptops with a 1080p screen? From Bill near Athens.
So we're going to take this kind of backwards. Most 13-inch and larger laptop screens are at least 1080p, in part because 1080p glass is really common and fairly cheap. It's the same resolution as the TVs! Yay! Many of the least expensive, like $200-ish laptops we've seen are 1366 by 768. Usable, but yeah, you give up a lot of sort of virtual real estate by not insisting on 1080p or 1920 by 1080. If you've ever seen it, there's this great display resolution file graphic up on Wikipedia, right? So it's kind of like 1366 by 768 doesn't really have a name. It was a common sort of 720p substitute.
Wow.
And then you get all these pixels over here for 1080p by 1920. So here's the thing. You get sort of more pixels in the same sort of 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 inch screen if you go 1920 by 1080.
Yes.
Math is...
You know what's horrible is even with my 13-inch screen, which this is 1920 by 1080, I still have to lower the resolution sometimes or just make it bigger so that I can see things because my eyes are so bad.
Well, it's funny, right? And that kind of hits on it. So, you know, if you have a 1080p screen on an 11-inch laptop, you have tiny pixels and tiny icons unless you make the desktop larger, which is not something that's particularly graceful in Windows 8. It's going to get a lot better in Windows 10.
Yeah.
Once you get up to a 13, 14, 15-inch screen, I would say 1080p is the minimum, and it's going to be less kind of like, Martha, can you get my magnifying glasses? Since I just got fitted for my first glasses. Woo!
Oh, yay.
Reading glasses.
Oh,
I'm at that age. My eyeballs are slowing down. But it's not a bad idea, but I got to be honest with you, those $200 laptops with those 1366 by 768 screens, totally usable. Maybe not so much if you want to have five windows open at once, but in terms of like, I'm editing, I'm browsing the web, I'm using a very small Excel spreadsheet, totally cool. But if you're a Photoshop editor or you have like 32,000, you know, cells open in a giant spreadsheet, then yes, you want like a 4K monitor.
I like my full HD.
Yeah. I mean, well, you actually, you pretty much refuse to buy a laptop that doesn't
have 1080p. Yeah, I totally refuse. I always insist on buying a laptop with 1080p screen or more. Full HD is 1920 by 1080. You can get a really good i5 full HD screen for like $700-$800, like a Dell XPS 13, for example. So
the new
really good
one.
Pricing.
That's pretty badass. Yeah. You know, around $500, I think 1080p screens on 13-inch screens are pretty common. As far as waiting for Skylake goes, it's tempting. It's the next new bestest, awesomest ever from Intel. It's going to replace Broadwell from Core M tablets
so
to Core i7 unclocked, overclockable, super desktop CPUs.
I want it now.
It's kind of crazy. Intel's goal to their most important chip architecture in a decade. LGA 1151 chipset for the CPUs that aren't soldered to the motherboard. Most of these, most of the Silver Lake parts are going to be BGA, ball grid array. Intel graphics, like ninth generation Intel graphics, which still won't be good enough for decent 3D gaming, but will be much better for daily use.
Yeah.
Dual channel DDR4 memory and DDR3 on the
lower
end processors, PCI Express 4.0, SATA Express, which combines PCIe and SATA into one connector with some performance improvements, some new instruction sets. It's a TOC on Intel's tick-tock cycle. Tick is when they shrink the die process, which is what they did for Broadwell. A TOC is a completely new microarchitecture. Broadwell took so long to hit the 14-nanometer process, which apparently was just a nightmare. Broadwell was a tick. And so basically they took an existing microarchitecture, shrunk down the process, that gives them some benefits. Silver Lake, Broadwell's gonna be out for a short period of time, and Silver Lake's gonna kind of steal its thunder because Broadwell got here so late.
Yeah,
the thing is though, in terms of everyday performance, it should be more power for less wattage. So longer battery life, but not a huge boost in CPU performance. And in any case, we don't expect to see it until the third quarter of 2015. And that's the big question. If your laptop is done, if you can't do work you need to do on your laptop now, if you need a new laptop because everything's gone horrible with the one you have, I'd just get a Broadwell laptop now.
Yeah.
You know, but if you wait a few months, you're going to get more performance for less money, whether you choose a Broadwell or a Skylark CPU, because that's the way this works. Wait a few months.
Skylake.
And you get did I say Skylark again?
Skylark.
I'm insisting on calling this the Skylark CPU.
Well, if you're also, if you're anything like me,
because
I never buy new because it's always way too expensive. So if you want something that's on the non-new shiny CPU perspective, I'm a couponer. I do a lot of research on sales. The best time to buy a laptop during the year is in April. And April is next month, so hey, it might be a good idea. Because new models are just being released. Older models are going to go on clearance. So they'll be, you know, marked down a couple $100. Back to school time, if you want to wait until like August time frame, that's also a good time to buy because there's a lot of sales for back to school in the end of November, which is obviously
holiday shopping season.
Black Friday, Cyber Monday sales. So I generally don't buy the top-notch CPU when it comes out because of that price. I'll usually just buy the last generation because the increases in performance for my laptop use is generally minimal.
There have been cases where I just remember being like, oh yeah, they promised a battery performance, but battery life doubled in between two generations of processor. So if you can hold out, wait, you know, see if there's a big, amazing, awesome jump in terms of performance or battery life. There's really been no real serious benchmark. There's been some minor sort of rumory stuff reported about Skylake.
There you go.
Not Skylark. sorry, it all sounds like someplace where James Bond was raised, which is Skyfall, which is now the third thing I'll confuse the name of it with. But wait, if you can.
Yes.
If you don't, can't wait, buy one now. But, you know, wait a few months, you'll get more laptop for less money. And possibly you might be able to spend a little bit more money and get a whole bunch more something. But we don't know because they haven't released the processor yet. It's a vicious tail
cycle. I'm excited to see this.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the new Skylake processor.
Maybe I'll finally upgrade my Core i7-920 gaming machine at home. Thing is just consumes a lot of electricity.
Speaking of gaming machines, I am still working on my upgrade, so I'm slowly researching all the different parts.
You need a cheaper CPU cooler.
Yeah,
Keith writes in, Patrick, I would like to see an episode on cutting the wireless cord from the phone company. I believe that every man, woman, and child who's having a cell phone is sucking the lifeblood out of financially challenged families. With so much free Wi-Fi out there and free phone number apps in the Play Store, what's the best option for going carrier-free and still having a quality phablet you can carry in your pocket? Keith from Indiana.
Ooh.
I gotta be honest with you, I'm feeding two small children and thinking to myself, this is outrageously expensive and they barely weigh 120 pounds together.
Agreed.
So the idea of feeding the 200 or 300 pound combination of them plus supporting cell phones is just nightmarish.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So I actually did do this for a short time when I canceled my account with AT&T. Few years ago, and then I just went with a Wi-Fi only phone for a while before I decided to sign up with a different carrier.
Sure.
So it is totally possible. But if you want to go strictly Wi-Fi, just note that when you're traveling or when you're out on the road, like if you have an emergency, have some kind of satellite connection or something, because you won't have a connection unless you're war driving and it's 1995 and nobody has WPA2 and any passwords on their wireless routers.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to be kind of out in the dark.
Well, so basically, you may want to have at least one phone where you have a full, like, the family
phone. Even if it's just like one of those prepaid little flip phones from Walmart or something. Like those are super cheap and you pay as you go.
Yeah.
So at least then you'll have some kind of emergency connection.
There are more inexpensive cell phone plan options than there have ever been before right now.
Yeah.
But literally, if you want it to work for a 911 emergency, a 911 emergency every time. Okay, 911 calls are probably a bad example because any cell phone should be able to call 911 in an emergency. But it's kind of funny. If you're halfway between like Reno and Sacramento, do you want to pull off and find Wi-Fi to tell somebody you're running late? Or do you want to have access to at least a minimal cell phone plan?
Good point. So first off, find whatever hardware that you fancy. You can get an unlocked version of all sorts of phones now. Mm-hmm. Search eBay. That's a really good place to find them. Resellers that have refurbs or a new phone or a phablet if you can afford it. My choice would be a Nexus 6. It is expensive out of pocket, but it also comes unlocked straight from Google, and it's brand new, so you know it's going to work, and they have really good customer service if you need to return it.
It's not a phablet, but the Moto
E.
It's not a phablet, but for $120, the Moto E is a fantastic Android phone. There's no flash on the camera, but the build quality is awesome. The screen, people are complaining about the resolution, but it is a fantastic processor and build phone and battery life for $120. Why a phablet?
He asked for a phablet specifically, right. Not a tablet necessarily. Okay. So also, I know that tablets could be an option, but they are really hard to fit in your pocket.
That's true.
Especially if you're small and you have very small back pockets. So the size of a phablet is still small enough to go out and about with, and you can absolutely make calls with a tablet for free over Wi-Fi. Right. But of course, it's the trade-off of, do you want to spend less on the tablet and have something big and bulky that you have to carry around, or do you want to spend more on a phablet or a phone and have that ease of use, being able to put it in your pocket or wherever you want? It's a little bit more travel friendly. Okay. Second off, you do want to choose your phone app and then just stick with it. So for example, I used Google Voice. It makes it really easy to make calls, really easy to text over Wi-Fi. You can set up Google Voice account with your phone number, and that makes it super easy to call people whenever you want, and you can pair it with your new Android device. Now, anytime somebody calls that number, it'll ring your Android phone via Wi-Fi. The connection's obviously only going to work whenever you have Wi-Fi via the Hangouts app, but from experience, calls are very clear, and even the video still looks really good, if you're on a good connection, of course.
Right.
So this is very super like Google-fied focused solution, but hey, they made it super easy to use, so why not go with it?
We have a lot of friends who have experimented extensively with Google and the non-Google options, and one, they keep coming back to Google Voice, and second, if you do it once and it works, you won't be the person that's like, hey, I got a new cell phone number.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a new cell phone number. Hey, I got a new cell phone number, which is maddening. What about looking for a plan that allowed you to make calls over Wi-Fi when a Wi-Fi internet connection was available?
Yeah, you can definitely do that. Mm-hmm. I think T-Mobile allows Wi-Fi calling. So in that case, yes, you could definitely do that. But Keith was specifically asking for cutting ties entirely with the calling carrier, with the cell phone carrier. So, I'm sure that people ask about that. So, yeah, you could definitely do that if you wanted to keep that cell phone connection with your carrier.
It's a compromise.
It is.
Hey, we know you have a lot to say. We want you to help us drive the show. Send us in your tip, your question, your comment. You should have told them to use this phone at TechThing, Facebook.com/TechThing, and of course, ask at TechThing.com. Meanwhile, let's find out what's going on Hack 5 this week.
Monitoring air pollution using Arduinos and like a $10 module, it is the coolest thing, and Shannon has a skinny. Plus, we are dissecting wireless packet captures using the power of SQL databases. You can check that out over at hack5 at hak5.org.
It is now time for a rapid fire round. This week, Cam Wardzala tweeted, at Patrick Norton at TechThing, any recommendations for low cost USB DACs? So Patrick's got three cheap DACs in less than a minute each. Are you ready, sir?
I am ready.
Go.
Okay, so from most to least expensive, and a reminder before we start, if you don't have decent headphones or decent audio system, you don't need to spend money on a DAC yet. Get good headphones first.
Good.
So first one up, kind of a game changer for the USB DAC universe, the Dragonfly. This is the 1.2. It sells for $150. The most expensive one on this list, it feels the burliest. It has the best built quality. It's got heft to it. Gorgeous detail from the Saber DAC that does the digital to analog conversions. Burr Brown amps, drives, pretty much any headphones I've plugged into them with ease. Bling-wise, there's a dragonfly on the front. It glows different colors. 44.1 kilohertz is green, 48 kilohertz is blue, and 88.2 is amber, and I think 96 kilohertz is magenta. Gorgeous sound, though I've heard the Audio Engine D3 is a little more accurate on objective audio benchmarks. I would like to demo the Audio Engine D3 and the FIO and the SCHIIT DACs. And since there are children listening, I'm not going to say the SCHIIT DAC name, though it sounds like it's spelled minus an I. two, the Got HRT it. DSP and iDSP. These sell for $70. We talked about them a couple weeks ago. You want a DAC for your iPhone or your iPad, the iDSP is a great option. It's got the Lightning connector on there. I think it is a very healthy improvement over the onboard audio on the iPhone 6. Again, if you have good headphones.
Right.
The DSP is for Android, Windows, OS 10, and older 30-pin iPhones and iPads. 30 pins, what else would it be? And I'm also testing the DSP with a Raspberry Pi.
Ooh.
More on that soon. It'll support 24-bit 96K audio, though the people at HRT think it's more of a working person's audio gear for standard 16-bit 44K audio. Sounds really, really good for the money. Three, the Hi-Fi Me DIY Saber USB DAC digital to analog audio converter, which is a huge name, and I'm not done yet. 96 kilohertz, 24-bit, ES9023 plus SA9023 plus USB to optical converter, which is a gigantic name.
Name.
Yeah, well, it's they're trying to get all of the search stuff on Amazon.
Yep.
$50 shipped from either Oregon or direct from China. Possibly the same DAC as the Dragonfly, certainly a cousin to the DAC and the Dragonfly. Not as awesome on the amplification front, I think. Just bought this, still testing. Very, very cheap, very, very beloved by owners. People love this on a lot of the audiophile boards. But, you know, it's not nearly as stylish and sophisticated looking. It's a plastic box with a USB cable hanging out of the back. But generally speaking, I don't stare at my DAC when I'm using it. I listen to it.
And you own all of these, correct?
I own all of these. These two were sent in for evaluation. These two I purchased out of my own pocket.
Wow.
I would purchase this one again in a heartbeat. Well, I would purchase this one for $70 in a heartbeat.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Patrick. And hopefully these answered that for you. And of course, if you guys have any questions, it can be absolutely anything. You can tweet at TechThing. You can post at facebook.com/TechThing. Or you can email us, ask@TechThing.com. And we'll do our best to answer it for you.
If you like the show and like to see it keep coming, you can help support the show directly. Please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/techthing. Donate $1 per episode. Donate as much as you want or as little as you want. Every little bit counts. We have lots of goals we want to complete, like keeping the show going for as long as you want it, and you can make that happen. Go over to patreon.com/techthing, and hey, even if the funds are tight and you can't donate, do us a favor. Subscribe to our RSS or our YouTube channel and tell your friends and family and everyone on the internet about it. Thank you so much for supporting Tech Thing. Patreon.com/techthing. Please feed my children and Shannon. Bobby Jane posted up on YouTube.com/techthing. I signed up to support y'all at Patreon.com, and I've watched both of you on Techzilla and look forward to this new show. Thank you. He has two questions. First, can you show some out-of-the-box simple solutions to cord-cutting options for connected TV content? And the second, since there's no more Dietrine, can you show something similar to those fun creations from time to time? Or maybe just have your own prepping channel?
Your own prepping channel?
Well,
what could that be? Well, you definitely need to check out Patrick and Michael's brand new show. It's called Possibly Unsafe over at possiblyunsafe.com or youtube.com/possiblyunsafe. They basically blow stuff up.
Actually, we turned the Raspberry Pi into a Steam streaming box to any HDMI TV.
That was fun.
For the first episode. Although the next episode, which is the hot sauce episode, actually did make my face stop working.
Hot sauce episode?
Temporarily.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. When is
exciting.
That one?
Next week.
Oh.
Soon.
Okay. So speaking about your cord cutting questions. So connected TV, that sounds kind of like smart TV.
Mm-mm.
So just if it is, I'll answer that. So if you're talking about those, there are tons of apps available on smart TVs that enable you to watch content from various different kinds of sources, like all of them. So everything from Netflix to Hulu, Amazon Prime, HBO, MLB.TV for you baseball fans. That's baseball, right?
Mm-hmm. Baseball.
And USA Today for news as well. Smart TVs will have different applications depending on who you buy it from, whatever company, whether that's Samsung, LG, Sony, etc., etc. And Patrick looked like he's going to punch my laptop.
No. I was just waiting to raise my hand. Here's the thing. Like, I've pretty much given up on apps inside of TVs. They always start out strong, and then the TV gets to be like a year old and the updates stop. I am so happy. Roku 3 and Apple TV, either one are awesome. Though the Apple TV is going to get HBO Now first.
Yeah.
So Game of Thrones Season 5, I'm actually going to see it with everybody else when it airs next month without cable.
So excited.
Yeah, I got to say, the Roku 3, the Apple TV, the Chromecast, the Amazon Fire TV are so much better than anything I've seen built into a television. I haven't had cable for over 5 years.
What?
Yeah, I haven't had cable probably for 5 of the last 15 or 18 years.
I stopped purchasing cable after college, but I got it when I moved here because I got a really sweet deal from Comcast.
I've only had cable for, I think, 5 out of the last 18 years.
Whoa, I just got my mom to cancel her cable. So excited. Anyway, tangent.
Yeah.
There are plenty of solutions for those smart TV folks, like myself or yourself. Before you want to cut your cable, though, you might want to benefit from calling them to see if they can offer you a better deal. A lot of times, they might want to keep you as a customer.
Don't leave us!
Don't want to cancel your cable.
We'll give you 40%
off. Try to get
off.
A better deal. Yeah, it's totally possible. Yeah. So I do this about once a year for all of my bills, and I always try to get a discount. And it usually works if you're really nice to the representative. Canceling cable can save a bunch of cash, obviously. But there is the expense of buying something that will connect you to your online content, such as the Apple TV or Roku. That's going to run you around
65 to 100 bucks
or so. So
that's a month of cable.
Yeah, it's a month of cable. Plus, there are subscription fees, though, as well. So Netflix is a subscriber fee.
$8.
Hulu Plus.
Don't use it.
I don't use it either. Amazon Prime, that's
already
$99
for the
year.
Shipping.
Yeah, and it comes with free shipping from Amazon, which is awesome. So you add up all these different costs per year, and if it's cheaper to cut cable than to keep it, then you might as well just do it, because why not?
We save like $2,000 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easily. So online services, they do have tons of TV content available within 24 hours after it airs on TV. Hulu Plus is great for this. Same with some different channel websites, like CWTV.com is great for watching Supernatural like 24 hours after it airs, which is great. I'm a Supernatural geek. And the others will let you watch TV all in one sitting. So if you can just wait like an extra year before the whole season comes out, watch it on Netflix.
And that's a big
thing. All in one setting.
Like, especially also for a certain sort of live sports casts and stuff, it can be enormously difficult to get what you want in your area. The big kind of game changer from CES this year was Sling, which is from Dish, which is essentially Dish satellite service over the interwebs, kind of. For like $20 a month, you'll get live ESPN and a whole bunch of other channels.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. $20 a month, you get ESPN, ESPN2, and a whole bunch of others. They're all streamed live straight from TV.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, there are still a lot of sports applications that do require that you sign in with your cable provider before you can actually access the content. And there's still those blackouts that a lot of people have to deal with, too.
MLB seems to be the best.
Yeah.
NFL seems to be the worst. And then there's like Stars, HBO, AMC.
Yeah. So all of those, if you want to, you can buy a subscription to the season through iTunes or through Amazon. Amazon also offers you, and I think iTunes does too, the ability to just buy per episode. So if I wanted to buy per episode for Walking Dead, I could just go to Amazon and purchase them there in HD or SD.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. But generally, I just wait around until the entire season ends up on Netflix.
What's really frustrating is spending like $35 for a season of something, and then like 6 weeks later, it's
it appears
Netflix.
On Netflix. And then I'm like, ah, oh, I should have waited. I could have. Ah, oh, all those spoilers on Facebook. Man, got me to buy it.
Just stop talking to people.
Yeah, just defriend everybody. For news, you could just check Twitter. Or you could go to the news provider's application or their site.
Right.
So news networks are really, really good about just posting segments or streaming live or posting things with an article online. And they will actually like just read out the entire article as well as just put the segment at the top of the screen for you. So those are just really easy to link to and, you know, grab the TV straight from your browser. So easy. New shows often premiere with free episodes through Amazon, so you don't have to waste money on that first episode in case it totally bites the dust, in case it's horrible. So yeah, a lot of times you can watch the first episode for free of some kind of new show that's out. Lastly, if you would really, really feel like geeking out, this is not out of the box, but you can also build a Plex server or a home theater PC for your living room, both of which will allow you to stream media from your other devices and computers, as well as hook them up with other things like Netflix and Hulu Plus and stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you
That's
have to
a little
actually
more
have,
complicated.
The, have the content to stream. So if you've like ripped 300, you know, DVDs and Blu-rays, you're good to go. But you're not, it's, yeah.
With all that said, there's so many options available now. There's really no reason to keep cable unless you have to have your live shows like straight from the cable provider. Hopefully HBO is really going to knock some people off their feet and get people to change their ways. I mean, it's 2015, people. Let's do this. Let's just cut all the cable.
I've been here for like 20 years. Welcome to my world. Wrapping it up, we're in the D block now. People, Steve writes, in the last episode, episode 11, you were asked to explain memory, but it seems to me you left out something of practical importance. Multi-channel memory is something we actually face all the time, especially dual channel. So we usually have motherboards that support dual channel memory, and we want to buy 8 gigabytes of RAM, but we buy 2 4s using 2 banks and channels, or 1 8 using a single channel. The 2 channel should be seen as a 128-bit channel, while the single channel is 64-bit. However, I hear this actually only gives about a 10% real-life improvement. So, do we buy 1 8 or 2 4s for $5 more? This also might cause us to choose a motherboard with more RAM slots. Thanks for the show, Steve. So, this is a great question, Steve, and we want to thank you for contributing to the show and helping us move the whole audience forward. I'm really enthusiastic about including everyone this week, so I'll just stop that now. It's really interesting. It's a great question. It's all about motherboards. There's not like special dual channel memory. There's the dual channel, single channel, triple channel. Don't ask, is all about the motherboard. GamersNexus.net did an amazing round of benchmarks last summer. They visited MSI to see how memory was made, and MSI told them in passing that 8 gigabytes in single channel, i.e. one stick of 8 gigabytes versus 2 sticks of 4 gigabytes in dual channel, was really, they couldn't really find any benchmarkable difference in real world. So the GamersNexus.net people looked at dual channel versus single channel platform performance for Adobe Premiere, gaming, video encoding, transcoding, number crunching, and daily use. This is an amazingly well-researched article, an amazing set of tests. It is a great read. The short answer for desktop users is that dual channel will look faster on synthetic benchmarks, memory-specific benchmarks. Real-world app-based benchmarks, like almost no difference. You know, and the other thing is, think about sales and bundles and deals will often mean that 2 sticks with half the RAM, or the 2 4 gigabytes to make 8 gigabytes, will cost a little bit less than 1 stick with twice the RAM. So now I'm like rethinking like my next system I build. Now I'm thinking like, wow, now I'm going to get like 1 stick of 8 and then save up my money for the 2nd stick of 8. Then I will have 16 and I will have a badass video editing machine eventually without having to spend all the money out of the box. But great, Gamers Nexus, freaking awesome. And thank you for doing all that testing. It's a great read. Go there and check it out. Link in the show notes.
My daddy always told me to buy 2 sticks just in case one fails. I can still use my computer.
It's a good rule. 2 is 1, 1 is 9. When is the last time you had memory die?
2 years ago.
Really?
On my home theater PC, yep. One of my RAM died. I was very sad.
Dead RAM. Scott's writes in, Snubs, I'm curious as to what laptop you are currently using on Tech Thing. I'm looking for a laptop with Windows, and your Asus looks about the right size that I'm looking for. Please let me know when you get a chance. We've gotten, I think, like 15 questions.
Yeah. It must be a weird laptop. Like, nobody owns this thing. So it's the Acer Aspire S7. It's about 2 years old now. Core i5, Windows 8.1, 8 gigs of RAM, and 1920 by 1080. Full HD 13.3-inch screen. Works pretty good for most of the things that I need, except when I start installing strange hacker tools on it, and it doesn't really like those. It has, like, driver issues or some kind of compatibility problems. But other than that, no performance problems. Excellent battery. The newer models on the Acer website cost $1,300 to $1,500. So a little bit pricey, but it's a really nicely built machine.
It's a premium laptop.
It is very premium, yeah.
I gotta say, I don't need to upgrade last year or the year.
Do you want the Apple?
I would like the gold-plated, you know, MacBook, because I just want to watch a gold-plated laptop suffer with my life. Gold anodized, a gold laptop. The XPS, Dell XPS 13, one of the best feeling laptops I've handled in a long time.
Yeah.
The new one that they just came out with, that is a smoking bargain if you get it without the
touchscreen. The XPS is awesome.
Yes.
Of course, if you guys have a tip that you want to share with the audience, email us, post it on our Facebook page. We want to hear from you because you have some tons of great ideas, y'all.
Yeah. Tens of thousands of you, 2 of us, help us help you. And with that bright and breathy note, that wraps up this episode of Tech Thing. If you like it, please subscribe at techthing.com or youtube.com/c/techthing. And before you go, have you backed up your system or your phone lately?
If
you haven't, go do it.
Right now.
Yeah.
Remember, once in a while, put down the internet, take a step away from your phone, close that laptop screen, and do something analog, like going to your local farmer's market and supporting your local farmers.
I did that Sunday.
This is so much fun, and you find some really delicious foods there.
Yes.
And cheese.
Yes, you do.
Because cheese is not food.
Yes, yes it is. Cheese is a totally awesome food. I'm Patrick Norton.
I'm Shannon Morse.
We'll see you next week on Cheese Thing.
I'm hungry. Everybody.
This is the part where we do this thing.
Yeah. It's where we go, oh my gosh, that guy. You're cool, man. Thank
or
you.
Should we be pointing like
Thank
this?
You.
Because it's kind of in front
oh,
of
yeah.
our faces, right?
It kind of is, yeah. We're like, oh, look. Look at the people. All the people. All the people. Look at all the people. This is fun. Look at the people. Look at the people.
Cue random thumbs up.
Random thumbs up.
Uh-oh.
Is your computer breaking again?
Yeah. Not sure what's going on.
My skirt is full of space.
Space skirt.